to the Authentic Health Coaching Show. My name is Tom Corson-Knowles, founder of Authentic Health Coaching, and we're so glad you joined us for the show today. If you haven't already, come check us out at AuthenticHealthCoach.com, where you can get Dr. Candace Corson's Top 5 Nutrition Tips report as our free gift just for you. Now, today on the show, we have an incredible guest for you, Brad Saltzman. And Brad is a psychotherapist and sex addiction therapist. He works mainly with people who have sex addiction, but he also works with all kinds of addictions. And today on the show, we talked about not just sex addictions, but really any kind of addiction. And Brad shares some incredible things, really simple things that anyone can use to help break that addictive cycle that so many of us face. If it's not sex, it's food or maybe alcohol. You know, we all seem to have some kind of addiction or another at some point in life. And so it can be really, really, really important to learn some effective coping strategies that you can overcome you know, those things that hold you back and become a better person and live a healthier lifestyle. So enjoy the show today, take great notes, and make an incredible day.
Brad, thanks so much for being with us today on the Authentic Health Coaching Show. Tell us more about you and what got you interested in being a sex therapist.
Okay, well, thank you for having me on today. I've been doing therapy for about 10 years, and I'm working at a previous job where I saw a lot of college students, and a lot of these guys were coming in and they had problems with compulsive pornography use. A lot of these guys were staying up all night looking at porn, and it was they would wind up sleeping through their classes the next day, and it was really affecting their lives. And you know, they were coming to me and asking for help, and I found that my other colleagues at this place where I was working really just sort of dismissed it, said, oh, you know what, these guys are, you know, it's normal, you know, everyone looks at porn and masturbates, and, you know, you should just tell these guys not to worry about it, and, you know, they'll get over it. So, basically, though, what I was hearing from these guys, it didn't line up with what my colleagues were saying, and I realized that I had to get some more training, you know, to figure out exactly what was going on, see how I could really help these guys. So that led me to get more training, and now that I'm in private practice, and this is basically the majority of my practice, almost all of my clients are struggling with sex addiction.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. So, I mean, it sounds like a kind of a cool job. I mean, you get to just basically sit on a couch all day and listen to people tell a story about their sex lives. Is that right?
Well, you know, I guess, you know, therapy in general, I get to listen to people talk about their issues all day. You know, and, you know, the truth is, I meet people all the time who say to me, you know, Brad, I don't know how you do what you do. I couldn't sit there and listen to people talk about their problems all day. And I think it's really, you know, each person, you know, we all sort of have different strengths and weaknesses. I know I, many years ago, actually had a job as an accountant, and I was a terrible accountant. You know, and so, you know, for me, it's actually easy to sit and listen to people talk about, you know, their emotions and their feelings and their challenges that they're having in their lives. It would be really hard for me to sit and listen to someone talk about their bank statements, you know, or for me to actually go through a list of numbers and crunch numbers all day. So I think people are made differently. And for me, thank God, I found something that I really enjoy, and I can help people.
Mm, well, that's awesome. So, you know, let's talk about the difference between, you know, if you're a sex addict versus someone who just has a healthy sexual desire and behavior. I mean, what's the difference?
Okay. I think that's a really good point, because, you know, as human beings, we all are wired to want sex in some way, you know, some more than others, but basically all of us have a sex drive that's normal and that makes us human. So the question is, when does that normal sex drive get hijacked and it becomes an addiction? So basically any addiction is some kind of behavior that it meets certain criteria. One of those criteria is that someone has tried to stop it and is unable to stop it. So for example, let's say someone... you know, let's say spending a lot of time looking at pornography online, and let's say they're married and they don't want to be doing it. So they want to stop, but they're not able to. You know, so they'll stop for a few days or a few weeks, and they find themselves, you know, doing it again, and they always wind up being disappointed or frustrated or angry with themselves, but there's nothing they can do. They're trapped. So, you know, and besides looking at pornography, this behavior, you know, could also include going to strip clubs, going to sexual massage parlors, meeting up with strangers for sex, having extramarital affairs, you know, one-night stands. So it's basically, you know, sex that's gone out of control.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. And so what are some of the things that you help people do to overcome that addiction?
Well, so the first thing we have to do is determine whether or not there is actually an addiction. Because, you know, some people can have a lot of sex and not be addicts. Just like, you know, if we look at a sort of the classic addiction, you know, we all tend to think of alcohol as sort of, the, you know, of the classic, you know, addiction. You know, some people can get drunk a lot and not be alcoholics. You know, I know in college, a lot of college students will, for a time, get drunk every weekend, maybe even some a few nights a week, and they'll get really drunk, and yet they won't become alcoholics. So I think that the first thing we have to do is correctly assess the person and determine whether or not the person does in fact have an addiction. If they do have an addiction, we then need to sort of get some history and find out what's going on. You know, people tend to think that sexual addiction is about sex, but really it has a lot more to do with intimacy and relationships than it does with sex. I like to think of sexual addiction as an intimacy disorder, which means that people who have difficulties with intimacy and forming and sustaining healthy relationships, those people will sometimes develop sexual addiction where they will channel their relationship energy towards, instead of channeling it towards healthy relationships, they will channel it towards these inappropriate sexual relationships, whether with prostitutes or, you know, seeking out, you know, some kind of sexual gratification with strippers or with masturbation and pornography. It becomes a substitute for real-life relationships. So we need to sort of figure out what's going on with the individual person. We need to look back into their past and into their childhood, see what kind of families did they grow up in, because often there's a strong trauma component to sexual addiction. The majority of people who are actually sexual addicts did experience significant childhood trauma when they were growing up, whether it was physical trauma, sexual trauma, or emotional trauma. So that's an important piece there to sort of figure out what happened in their childhood, and you know, and then now how do we repair that damage that was done?
Mm. Wow, that's fascinating that you say that. You know, oftentimes sex addiction is, you know, an intimacy and relationship issue. You know, do you think it's something that could be prevented if we just taught, you know, young people earlier in life, you know, how to better communicate and have better relationships?
You know, that's a really interesting question, Tom. You're the first person to ask me that, and I think that's a really interesting way to look at it. I think that it probably could. And I think that, you know, the antidote to sexual addiction is actually healthy relationships and healthy relationship skills. So, you know, I think that, you know, when parents model good relationships, you know, when a father and mother treat each other with respect and affection, I think that is sort of, you know, child-proofing your kids from becoming sex addicts. You know, I'd say the biggest risk factor we have today towards developing sex addiction is the internet, though, because we're all so wired and technologically savvy. I mean, people have internet connections at home. They're walking around with smartphones. There's a lot less interpersonal connection going on. And people may feel, oh, I'm actually interacting with more people now because, you know, I might text 10 people a day. Or, you know, I have 500 friends on Facebook. But there really is no substitute for, you know, face-to-face, in-person relationships, and especially those, you know, deeper relationships that you just can't really simulate online.
Mm-hmm. Mm, absolutely. I mean, people always talk about now that, you know, the disconnection that we have from reality because of all this computers and smartphones and things that we're using.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a real issue, and I think that, you know, technology is absolutely, like, has helped us in so many ways, and, you know, I think also it also poses some real risks, and I think that people are maybe just starting to be aware of some of the risks, and I think that's why you see some of these things coming out, people talking about a digital cleanse, or, you know, turning off your phones or your computers for, you know, one day a week or something like that, just to sort of detach and disconnect, to sort of be more present in your real life with your real life relationships and turn off all the noise and all the buzz around you.
Mm, absolutely. Well, you know, I'm a big believer in that, you know, you can learn from other people, whether it's good things that they've done or mistakes that they've made. So what are some of the things that, you know, just an average everyday person could learn from sex addicts and from the work that you've done that could really help improve their life or their relationships?
Okay, that's a really good question. So let's see. So what are some of the ways that your everyday person could benefit from some of the skills that I teach people?
Mm, exactly.
So, you know, one thing that I work on with people, and this is a big problem I find with sex addicts, is not being aware of their own emotion. And I'm really surprised at how many people struggle with this. And usually when you ask someone, you know, are you aware of your own emotions, pretty much everyone says, well, sure I am. You know, I have a good idea of, you know, when I'm happy or when I'm sad or when I'm angry. But when it comes down to it, a lot of people really don't. And one thing that I work on with my clients is trying to be more aware of how they're feeling in the moment. Because often when people will act out, it's a way to avoid feeling an unpleasant feeling. So in other words, if someone is feeling really anxious about, let's say, something that happened at work, you know, maybe the boss said something, you know, that made someone feel that, you know, their job was in danger. Or let's say, you know, someone's spouse, you know, said something, you know, not nice and you know, someone got angry, that's when people are likely to then do some kind of acting out behavior. And the acting out doesn't need to be a sexual acting out. It could be any kind of acting out. It could be, you know, saying something not nice. You know, it could be yelling. It could be, you know, stomping out of the room. You know, it could be doing something that later you're going to regret. So I think that, you know, one thing that everyone can try and cultivate, which can help them, is mindfulness. You know, and this mindfulness is something we talk about in the Zen Buddhist tradition, but it's really in a lot of different you know, religious and cultural traditions. Just sort of trying to actually have some distance from yourself and to be able to look at yourself objectively. Say, you know, what's going on inside me right now? You know, how is this making me feel? You know, am I feeling this in my body somewhere? Am I feeling tense? You know, do I feel it in my stomach? Do I feel it, you know, in my fists? Do I feel it in, you know, the hairs on the back of my neck? And really trying to develop that sort of consciousness, which I think can really help people from getting out of that reflexive acting without thinking.
Gotcha. So you're saying, you know, if we just had a little bit more awareness about our emotions and how we feel, then we could, you know, take a more proactive stance, you know, to help us get what we really need, what we really want, rather than just reacting to those emotions, you know, in a drastic way.
Yeah, 100%. If people can sort of cultivate that self-awareness, then they can really become more aware of other people as well. But until they can first become aware of their own feelings, and you know, where they are in the moment, you know, that precludes them from sort of going further and developing themselves further and developing their relationships further.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Well, that's awesome. Well, that's great advice, Brad, and we really appreciate having you on the show today. Where can people find out more about you and the work that you're doing?
Okay, well, people can check me out on my website, which is bradsalzman.com, and that's B-R-A-D-S like Sam, A-L-Z, like Zeba, M-A-N, .com. And if people in the New York area are interested in getting in touch with me about possibly becoming a client or finding out more about my services, I invite them to call me. My number is 917-512-3490, and I do offer a free consultation to everyone who's interested, because this can be a rather challenging first step for people to get that help that they need.
Well, that's awesome. Well, thanks so much for being with us today, Brad.
Okay, thanks so much for having me, Tom.
Hey there, it's Tom Corson-Knowles again. Hope you enjoyed the show today with Brad Saltzman. Hey, if you haven't already, come check us out at AuthenticHealthCoach.com to grab Dr. Candace Corson's Top 5 Nutrition Tips report as our gift to you. And also, please leave us a review on iTunes, the Authentic Health Coaching Show on iTunes. If you leave us a review there, we'd really appreciate it. Let us know what you think about the show. If there's anything we can improve, if there's anything you really liked about the show, we would love to hear about it. So please leave us a review on iTunes and make it an incredible day. Talk to you soon. Take care.